Welcome here to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. We're glad to see you here this last Sunday of Advent and right as we get ready for Christmas this week as well. Our order of service will follow what's listed in the bulletin, Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 in your hymnal. The introit and the propers are in the inside of the bulletin. The readings are on the back. We'll begin our service with hymn 344, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. Divine Service Setting 1, page 151, page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time we sing together the introit as it's found in our bulletin. Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson this morning for the fourth Sunday in Advent comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words into his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words, that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing the gradual as printed in our bulletin. The epistle lesson comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel as we sing the Alleluia and the verse as listed in the bulletin. Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, hymn 357. The choir will sing the first verse in Latin, and then we'll sing the rest of the hymn following.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, who is coming soon, amen. Dear friends in Christ, did you listen to the words that you just sang over and over again in the hymn we just finished singing? Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. They're the same words that are in our epistle lesson for today, where St. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Celebrate, delight, exalt in God. He's coming to save you from your sin, after all. He's coming to take on human flesh, to be born of the Virgin Mary, wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. And he's doing it all for one purpose, one reason alone: dying on the cross. Dying to forgive you your sin. Dying so that you can live forever, world without end. Dying so that you might live without sorrow, sin, suffering, illness, taxes, politics. Dying so that you might live without death. That's why Jesus is coming. That's what he's earned for you by his birth and by his cross. You are saved from sin. Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, Paul must not have known what our lives would be like. Paul must not have understood our circumstances. Paul, when he said rejoice, couldn't see forward into the future to the year 2020, where we just haven't been that joyful, have we? It's been a depressing year, after all. Lots of hardship, uncertainty, and difficulty. And in all of our struggles, in all of our frustrations from this year, rather than rejoicing in the Lord always, we've gotten a little bit grouchy, haven't we? We've spent a lot of time mourning the loss of things that we love. Youth sports, eating out in a restaurant, seeing smiling faces, going to watch a Husker football game in person, maybe even them winning, gathering together with family at holidays, visiting a loved one in a nursing home. We haven't gotten to do those things this year, have we? They seem to be things of the past, things that are over, things that have died. And we mourn them. It's like all the joy that we could have had in this year has been sucked out of the room. How's that affected you? Well, without the things we love in this world, we've become a little less reasonable in dealing with others, haven't we? I think our lack of reasonableness is really a result of the election that took place this year, isn't it? Part of the strategy of modern politics is to divide the people, to get you to believe that if your candidate loses, the whole world will fall apart, and that those people who are not in your political party, who are not on your team, are the spawn of Satan and need to be destroyed. They breed hate against the other side. It comes out like this: Orange man, bad. Biden is a buffoon. And those thoughts divide us from people that we used to talk to. We become hypercritical rather than reasonable. Perhaps even we become violent. Well, some have, right? You've seen it on the news. You've seen things burn down. You've seen the protests. And it makes us anxious about the world, doesn't it? Anxious, affixed with worry about all the things going on, about our health, about how things will turn out, about our retirement portfolio, about what will happen tomorrow, or the next day, or the next. Will there be conflict? More riots? Riots on my street? Will we get sick? Will we be hospitalized? Will we die? Will we still have our jobs or will we not? Will we be able to pay the mortgage or the heat bill? We worry and worry and worry. We stay up all night thinking about these things. We get angry at those people that we think are the cause of the problem. We point fingers. We throw blame around, mostly behind people's backs, not actually talking to the person we're frustrated at. And so, our peace is gone. Just like our joy is gone. And we live unreasonably anxious, overwhelming lives. Dear Christian, do you know what's behind all of this? Our sin. Our guilt. How can that be, Pastor? How can our sin be behind all of these things? Because we're not trusting Christ. You know, Jesus, who said, "I have overcome the world," who said, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are? Yes. Jesus also taught us to forgive, to love our neighbor, to show compassion to them in their times of need. Jesus, who said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." Jesus promises to take care of things, at least in the long term. Do you trust him? Do you believe him? Is he telling the truth? It's sin if we don't trust him. And even our lack of joy is sin. I mean, think about it. What is there in this world that Christ has not taken care of? What problem is there that he has not solved? Think of your biggest worry right now. The one that is keeping you from joy. Has Christ taken care of it? Does his cross count for that worry? Of course it does. Hasn't Christ made the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear? Hasn't he cured horrible diseases like leprosy, like dropsy? Doesn't he have control of the wind and the waves? Can't he stop a storm in its tracks? And even if you die, hasn't he promised, yet shall you live? What problem is there that your Lord Jesus has not provided a solution for? And yet our eyes, so fixed with worry on our anxieties, on our concerns, and on our challenges, fail to see what God has done. Rather than our eyes being fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, they get clouded by weeping, suffering, anger, and look other places. Dear Christian, repent. Repent of this sin. Know that your lack of faith in Christ is sin, and repent of it, and believe that Christ has taken care of all the sorrows, the sufferings, the challenges, the difficulties that could possibly exist in this world. His blood has covered over every single challenge that you face. He's made it well by his life, death, and resurrection. He's caused a solution to be made well known to you. That doesn't mean it's going to be easier. It doesn't mean you're not going to get sick or that you'll keep your job. It doesn't mean you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise in this world. But it does mean this world is not the end. This world is not the culmination of your life. He's given you salvation, forgiveness, mercy, peace. Because of your Savior, Jesus Christ, you will be resurrected on the last day. You will be taken by God to the new heaven and earth to live face to face with God in His kingdom, world without end. The finest wines, the best of foods, the best hymns to sing. Your body will not grow old there. It will not fall apart. Your joints will work. It'll be perfect. Forever. Christ gives this to you. Freely. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to earn it. He bestows it upon you by His grace and mercy. That's your end, if you can even call it an end. And that knowledge allows us to face the challenges of this world moment by moment, day by day, year by year, even in the hard years. Christ's promise is true. Our Lord sustains us. He keeps us in the one true faith. He guides our wandering eyes right back to Him time and time again here in the divine service. He gives us the food of heaven to sustain us as we journey through this veil of tears and sorrows. The very body and blood of Jesus. He washes away our sin and guilt and shame in the waters of baptism. It's not just a one-time long ago washing away. It happens every day. He permeates our ears with His word, with preaching. And where the word is, the Holy Spirit is drawing us back to Christ. He calls us to the faith. He keeps us in the faith. He constantly refreshes us from the weariness of this world so that we may again have joy in Him. And you're not alone in your joy. We are really in this together. Not just in the cliche ways that the politicians are using right now. We are the body of Christ. We care for one another. We support one another. We love one another. We dry each other's tears when we mourn. We call each other back when we stray and wander. We together are sustained by our Lord Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And so we share the joy of God with one another. That's the fruit of faith. Joy. That even if we die, in Christ we shall live. That even if we lose our job, in Christ we have everything. That even if we're sick, in Christ we'll be made well. That's our joy. Joy, just like St. Paul writes about. Joy, always. Joy in the promises of God. Joy in the body of Christ. Joy in our coming Lord and Savior. He's coming to rescue us from this place. And nothing can take that joy away. The joy of Christ can be there while we mourn. The joy of Christ can be there while we're alone, while we weep, while we suffer. The joy of Christ is ever present for the Christian in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. 500 years ago or so, in a sermon for the fourth Sunday of Advent, Martin Luther wrote it this way. This text, though short, is a suggestive and important lesson in Christian faith. It teaches how we should conduct ourselves towards God and our neighbor. It says simply, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Joy is the natural fruit of faith. The apostle says elsewhere, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Until the heart believes in God, it is impossible for it to rejoice in Him. When faith is lacking, man is filled with fear and gloom and is disposed to flee at the very mention, the mere thought of God. But when faith in the gospel exists in the heart, God is recognized as favorable and pleasing. The heart confidently feels His favor and grace, and only these. It fears not God's chastisement. It is secure and in good spirit because God has conferred upon it, through Christ, superabundant goodness and grace. Such is the rejoicing of which Paul speaks, a rejoicing where is no sin, no fear of death or hell, but rather a glad and all-powerful confidence in God and in His kindness. And so it is that Paul says, and we listen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Dear Christian, this Christmas season, this year, this lifetime, let your joy be in Jesus, who's overcome everything else. In the name of Jesus, who is coming to bring us joy, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed, page 159.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you alone are worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere. We give you humble and sincere thanks for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us without any merit or worthiness in ourselves. We thank you for the faithful proclamation of the saving name of Jesus Christ, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and his kingdom extended, even as we live in this world with joy. For that, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church throughout the world, for all of those who confess the name of Christ, that God would guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, its mission, and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work God gives us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who partake this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins, the renewal of life, and have a foretaste of the feast that is to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who are traveling this holiday season, that they may arrive and return from their places and destinations without harm and safely. For all those who are dealing with illnesses this holiday season, and for all of those who mourn the loss of loved ones, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our government and all of those who have been set into positions of leadership over us, that they may use the authority entrusted to them honorably and for the good of the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, unemployment, or underemployment, that God's great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them, let us pray to the Lord. For all the faithful, that the Spirit would lead them to cheerful, generous giving from the bounty of the Lord to support the church and to help those in times of need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick, especially those in our own midst, including Barb, Marta, Elaine, Pastor Russert, Anna, Kelly, Mildred, Jim, John, Susie, Cecilia, Steve, John, Hee Kyung, Joyce, Max, Lane, and all others whom we name in our hearts. That in their time of sickness, God would grant healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace, let us pray to the Lord. For those who rejoice in the rich blessings of God, that they may always remember the giver of every gift and give him heartfelt thanks, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We sing together the offertory, page 159.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling all sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Now depart in peace and in joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and sing together the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. May be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 338. Good morning. Glad to see you all here, and we pray a blessed Christmas week for you in the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a few announcements to bring to your attention. We do have Bible study in the fellowship hall in just a few minutes. We'll continue our look at worship, and so we invite you for that. This morning at the same time, there will be no children's choir. The children will just head right on in to be with their parents for the Bible study, and that Bible or the children's choir will not meet again the next 2 weeks, today and next week, and it'll pick up again then in early January. Same thing for Lifelight Bible Study this week. It will not meet again until early January, as we have all the Christmas and New Year's events taking place. Speaking of Christmas, this Christmas week we have Christmas Eve service at 1 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock right here. And there is overflow seating. We've got it worked out. Mark does. Thank Mark if you get a chance to see Mark. He's got it worked out so that the video from in here immediately feeds to the different TVs in the church so that if we need more space, we have it available. All the same, on Christmas Eve at 1, 4, and 7, please do take the opportunity to spread out between those services. That's why we have an extra one this year. There is more information about that on YouTube. There's kind of a Christmas invitation. Feel free to take a look at it, share it on Facebook, and invite those people who need God's Word to church on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Christmas Day, the service will be at 9 o'clock in the morning. You'll notice that we're short two this week, right? Pastor Poppy had vacation scheduled this morning, and so he's here, still taking that vacation. And then Vicar has a little bit of a stomach bug, and rather than risk anything, we asked him to stay home and get better from that. So that's why you're stuck with only me this morning. One final announcement, and it's in regard to a vicar. The time is soon drawing near where our congregation will need to decide if we'll have a vicar next year for 2021 through 2022. And the elders have been talking about it. The church council talked about it at their meeting last week. The finance committee has talked about it, and they would like to get a vicar. There's just one little adjustment from the last few years. For the last 4 or 5 years, the vicar's salary has been paid from memorial money, and that memorial money is running out with our current vicar. The next vicar will have to pay from the church budget, which is a substantial pickup for the church budget. And so we want to make sure that we're able to do that before we decide at the January voters meeting whether we're able to support a vicar next year. And so the finance committee, the board of elders, and the church council have decided that what we'd like to do is to raise $20,000 of that cost and have it on hand by the end of January so that we don't get halfway through the year and are unable to pay the vicar. And so if we're able to do that, then we'll get a vicar. If not, then the funds that we've raised will hold in reserve separate from the other funds so that the next year after that we can afford a vicar. And there'll be a mailing going out this week that kind of explains that. If you have any questions, do feel free to talk to a council member, a board of elder member, or even a finance committee member, and we'll be happy to visit with you about that. Ken, anything I forgot in that regard? Okay, perfect. I think that's all the announcements. Any other announcements that I have forgotten? Merry Christmas this week, and we hope to see you Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. God's blessings in Christ.